helped with the funeral for.
And now, the latest.
Not yet, Todd, in a minute. We'll have that introduction in just a minute. Anyway, the funeral for Brother Eugene Brown, most of you know him from the Words of Hope ministry that we have supported for many years. We didn't talk about having a funeral for Brother Brown. We talked about having a celebration of life for Brother Brown. And he was a man who gave 70 plus years of his life to the Lord and to the work of the Lord and to the ministry. And it certainly was a celebration of life. And as we sang today, I know someday I'm going to have a celebration of life in the same manner. Brother Will led the song, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." And I can say that in the affirmative, and I hope you can too. And the reason I can say that is because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There was a time and a place in my life when I surrendered my life to the Lord and trusted in Him with all my heart, with a repentant heart of faith, and He saved me. And as a result of that, when that trumpet sounds or when that roll is called, I'll be there. And I have a great peace about that this morning. Word of testimony on anyone's heart before I get to my reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay, now Todd. No, kidding. Kidding. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. The Apostle Paul here is speaking to them, and he says, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused to you one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds shall be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, who we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." And I'm going to stop with those four verses of my scripture reading. My text is going to come from the book of James, the 4th chapter and the 14th verse. And he recorded there, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. He says, "For whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow," he said, "what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." I'm going to title my message this morning, "What is your life?" You know, we all need to consider our life. What is our life? And I know that in Matthew's gospel in the 6th chapter, it talks about our treasures. And it talks about where it is that we're laying up our treasures. And in fact, it specifically tells us to lay not up treasures on the earth, but it tells us to lay up treasures in heaven. And then it goes on to tell us that where our heart is, there will our treasure be, or where our treasure is, there will our heart be. So, you know, we need to think about our life. And the message of James here in my text verse, it's pretty simple. The message is simple in the fact that it says life is short. It does not matter how long you live or how long you have lived. We know that life is short. So the question is, how is your life today? Right now, how is your life? Do you have much going on in your life today? I wonder, has life got you on the run? It seems like life has a lot of people on the run today. Are you so busy that what you really look forward to is the end of the day when you can lay your head on your pillow and you can just rest from whatever the day has brought on to you? Do you have more stuff to do than you have time in the day to be able to do it and to get it accomplished? And if your answering is yes, 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 that sounds like me. If so, where does God fit in? Where does God fit in? I think that's the thing with many Christians today. I wish the house was full this morning. I need your prayers as I try to share my message. But just as we look around and we so see so many empty pews that we see inside the church this morning, we know that Christians have a problem with this. There's so much going on and so much little time left over to be able to give to God in our lives. And our lives are so complicated that we miss out on the thing that we need the most. And the thing that we need the most, brothers and sisters, is time with God. And you ever heard someone refer to the years past as being the simple life? You know, they long for the simple life. Or maybe a different way of saying it, a time that was less complicated, a time that was less hectic. You know, people say, you know, I remember the good old days. And, you know, we all know that everything about the good old days was not good. You know, how many of you want to go back to outdoor plumbing? Not me. Some of you, I never had to do it, but I know my dad did. How many of you want to go down to the creek with a bucket and get your water and carry it back up to the house so you have water at the house? Well, I don't want to go back to that either. Anybody want to give up their car and go back to a horse and buggy? Liam does, okay? I don't think you've ever experienced that, Liam, but some of you who have, I would venture to say you don't want to do that either. There's a lot more time involved getting from place to place, and it's not as pleasant. We don't want to do those things. And at the same time, I think when we stop and think about the good old days, there's some things that, you know, we would like to see again. I mean, in the good old day, church houses were full. Some of you may have experienced it. I'll just be honest with you. I never experienced the house so full and the windows open and people outside the church building that were listening to the sermon because there were so many people that wanted to hear about it. But I've heard people talk about that, so I know that it's something that has happened in the past. Altars were full in the old days, you know. You hear of 3, 4, 5 people getting saved in a service. And, as I preached the sermon for Brother Brown this week, he talked about a revival service in times past that he told me about. And this was a revival service at Faith Church up in Michigan. And when the revival service was over, 36 people had joined the church, and he had to baptize 36 people. Now, I'll be honest with you, I can't even imagine the joy of baptizing that many people all at one time in one day. And I know people will say, well, but Pastor, that was a different day. You know, in that day, on Sundays, they didn't have anywhere else to go. You know, in that day, you know, restaurants weren't open. In that day, you know, stores weren't open. In that day, there wasn't so many sports activities that were filling our days. You know, Sunday and church and worshiping the Lord and spending time with the family, that was pretty much the only thing you could do. Exactly. Exactly. And that's the part of the good old days that I'd like to see again. Is it possible? Could it happen again? I don't think it could happen again in the way that it happened then, because our nation and our countries have gone so far in our sophistication, if you will, in the technology and the things that we have today. But I do believe that we could still experience full church houses. I still believe that there could be altars filled with lost people that were seeking the Lord. But I believe the only way that it will, or the only way that it can happen, is through the exercise of discipline. Discipline. I'm not talking about spanking, though I believe a few Christians could use that. Paul, in giving some sound advice to Timothy, he said in 1 Timothy 4:7, he said, exercise thyself unto righteousness. And in other words, what he was trying to say is we've got to train ourselves. You know, discipline is all about behavior modification. My behavior modification, your behavior modification. How do we modify our behavior? Well, we replace the previous behavior with a new behavior. And to modify our current spiritual behavior, we've got to replace it with a new spiritual behavior. So that's discipline. That's spiritual discipline. In 2 Corinthians here in the 11th chapter in my reading in verse 3, it talked about the danger of Christians being led away from the simplicity that's in Christ. And Paul said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your minds shall be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, simplicity, by definition that I want to use today, simplicity means devotion. Simplicity means loyalty. Simplicity means commitment to Christ. It means a singleness of mind and a singleness of heart. And as Christian believers today, we're to have our minds and we're to have our lives focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen? That should be our first priority, Jesus Christ and Him alone. Well, Pastor, there's so much going on. I understand that and I know that. But what I'm trying to express this morning is that Jesus Christ and our worship and our service unto the Lord isn't the first thing that we should give up in our lives. There's other things that should be given up in our lives. When we practice simplicity, we're gearing our lives and our minds and our hearts not on the thousand other things that are tugging at our lives and pulling us in different direction. Spiritual simplicity means that we build and we live our lives around one idea, one all-encompassing principle, which is knowing and growing in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have yet to meet the person who knows all there is to know about God. I've yet to meet the person who says, oh, this book here, know all about it. People will tell me all the time, I've read through the Bible 5 times. I've read through the Bible 6 times. I would venture to say they still don't know all about the Word of God, or at least they don't know how to apply the principles that we find in the Word of God. So if we're going to know Jesus better, if we're going to be able to deepen the relationship that we have with Him, brothers and sisters, we're going to need to practice simplicity. How we're going to need to practice devotion and loyalty and commitment unto the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we need to simplify our lives. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And I got to tell you that this message is just as difficult for me as probably it is for many of you. You know, I've got 1,000 things going in 1,000 different directions. I thought this morning when Sunday school was over and I rushed out into the parking lot to try to greet those that were in the parking lot, and I looked at my watch and I still hadn't gone to my office and have prayer yet, and I come in and I'm shaking hands with this person and saying hello to that person, and I get to my office and I get down on my knees and I'm just thinking, Lord, I'm sorry I'm so rushed, but there's so much to get to and try to get accomplished, and I got to get back out there because service is going to start. We're just pulled in so many different directions at so many times, and it's hard. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, what are some of the things that keep us from this spiritual simplicity that we have? Most of you probably know a man by the name of Chuck Swindoll. He is a well-known evangelist, preacher. He's an author. He writes books. He's an educator. He's a radio preacher. You probably have heard of his name. What he calls what we have is mind clutter. That's what he calls it. We all have too much mind clutter. And if you're like me, we say yes to far too many things. And we're busier than we need to be. And we're afraid that if we're not doing so many of the things that we're doing, that people might say that we're not doing enough, or they're not doing that we're not doing everything that they feel that we should be doing. And you know, I think sometimes in our lives we don't plan enough fun, we don't plan enough rests in our lives. And I might add, at the appropriate times. There's times that it's inappropriate to have fun and take rest. And for me, that inappropriate time is when we're supposed to be giving our time to the Lord. But, you know, none of us wanted to be accused of being lazy. And, you know, some think life is too serious for us to be able to have fun, much less schedule some fun into our life, right? Life's just too serious for that. I mean, when is the last time that you planned to rest? I mean, you planned to rest. When is the last time you said, you know what? I'm going to take a vacation for nothing. I'm just going to take a vacation for nothing. I'm not planning to go places. I'm just planning a vacation of nothing so I can do whatever it is I want to do, even if it's just resting. We rarely stop to enjoy, you know, the things that we accomplish. You know, when's the last time that you just stopped and enjoyed the feeling of getting something done? You know, we're too busy. We don't do that. You know, I'll be honest with you. I hate trimming bushes. It's not my thing. And, you know, I oftentimes talk about me and Dawn having intense moments of fellowship. Well, trimming bushes is a time of intense moment of fellowship for me and Dawn. If you ask her, she will tell you, in my mind, every bush has to be square, round, or rectangular. What's wrong with that? And of course, to her, every bush needs to be wild and fluffy and whatever else, you know, but natural. And so when you drive by my house, you'll definitely be able to tell which ones she had a part in and which ones I had a part in. But I'll tell you, when I get done trimming my bushes and I step back and I look at it, you know, there's a joy that I get from a sense of accomplishing that task. And when I get the joy from looking at that, it brings me right back around to my relationship to the Lord. And I say, Lord, thank you for this place that you've given me. Thank you for this home that I have. Even though I hate trimming the bushes, thank you for giving them to me, because right now they're looking good. And I appreciate that, Lord. You know, there's just so many things, brothers and sisters, that clutter our minds and take up our time. We worry about money. We worry about our kids. We worry about our grandkids. Some of us worry about technology, you know. I take the easy way out. You know, if something's not working right technologically, Dawn, and she comes and I say, this ain't working. Fix this, you know. And she's caught me a few times when she wasn't around and I did it myself. So it's not that I can't, I just don't want to. And it's easier to just holler for Dawn to do it. But, you know, all of these things, they complicate our lives. And all of these complications are the opposite of our enemy of simplicity. And all of this additional baggage, it leads, brothers and sisters, to some serious consequences. And, you know, the Bible has a couple of words that explain the consequences of complicated lives. And the first word that comes to my mind is corruption. Corruption. You've heard me say many times before, garbage in, garbage out into our minds. And, you know, that word corruption in the Greek, it means to shrivel. It means to ruin. And when our lives are complicated, the result of that is our spiritual lives shrivel up. Our spiritual lives, they ruin. Our connection and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it slowly starts to dry up, and we don't have that intimate relationship. Still saved. If you've been saved, you're saved eternally. You're saved for all times. But as I try to express many times, the position or the intimacy or the relation of a relationship, it changes if there's not anything put into it. All you got to do is think about your normal relationships in life, whether it be with your spouse or be with your friends or whoever it might be. The more you ignore them, the more you put it off, the farther you drift away, and pretty soon that friendship isn't what it once was. And listen, Christian people, it's the same way with our relationship with God. If we're not giving God time and we're not investing our time in the Lord, we're drifting, and our life is shriveling up in that relationship of Him, and it's being ruined. You know as well as I do that is not a good thing for our spiritual well-being and our relationship with the Lord. The other word that I want to share with you is that of deception, and the meaning of the word deception is seduced or to be deceived. Now listen, we get seduced by all of the activities and the stuff that fills our lives. It seduces us to get involved in those things and to do all of those things that we probably shouldn't be doing. And when we are seduced by those things and we do those things, It steals our attention and it steals our hearts away from the love of the Lord. Some of us are there right now, aren't we? You have to answer that for yourself. Our lives are chock full of stuff every minute of the day. And our lives are so complicated that we can't see the end, or we can't even see a way out of the situation that we're in. And in the meantime, our relationship with Jesus is shriveling up as we drift further and further away from Him. We get caught up in all of this stuff. And if we're caught up in all this stuff, then we're not caught up in Jesus. So how do we get back to Jesus? Do you have a desire? I mean, you have to answer for yourself. You know where you're at in your relationship. All you got to do is stop and say, how many times did I pray to the Lord last week? Did I pray once a day? Did I pray every other day? Did I not pray until I got to the church today and they called on someone to pray? Was I even praying when they were praying? Maybe I was just listening to them. You know, we can determine where we're at in our relationship with the Lord. How many times did I crack this book last week? How many times did I enter into the Word of God and was fed spiritually by the things that I read in the Word of God? Did I even read my Sunday school lesson before I got to church today? Did I even come to Sunday school today? You know, we can determine, you know, where we're at in our relationship with our Lord. And when we start answering some of these questions, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is don't be satisfied with mediocrity. Don't be satisfied with laziness. Don't be satisfied with drifting away from the Lord. We need to think about getting back to where God wants us to be. And listen, what's going on in our world today is causing people to drift farther and farther away from God. You know, we can do this and we can do this, but we can't come to church. It's too dangerous to come to church, but we can go and participate in United Way, or we can participate in whatever else that we want to participate in. But we can't come to church because it's too dangerous. And we need to evaluate, and we need to see where it is that we're at. And we got to ask ourselves, you know, how do I get back to Jesus? How can we live more simple lives that include Him? The answer, I think, is obvious. Simplify your schedule. Simplify your life. Cut some things out. Make more room for the Lord. Oh, preacher, I don't know how I can. I have too many commitments. I have too many obligations. Well, there is a word that will greatly cut down on the clutter in your life and bring you more simplicity in your life. It's difficult for some people to say. It's kind of like the word sorry. You know, I always joke around how hard it is to say the word sorry, you know. This word is kind of like that, kind of like it for many people. Anybody know what the word is? No. The word is no. Sometimes we got to get to the place where we have to say no. You can't keep doing everything that you're doing and grow in your relationship and fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And that should be the desire of every Christian's heart, to be closer to the Lord, to grow in maturity and know more about His Word. The end of time is coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you anticipating the events that are going to come? Or are you just, whatever comes, comes? You know, God's Word doesn't leave us out in wonderment. We can study God's Word and we can know what it is. Saying no, brothers and sisters, means making a choice of priority. That's really what we're talking about. And when is the last time you asked yourself about something? You know, will it take away time that I could be spending with Jesus? And if it takes time away that I could spend with Jesus, is it worth it? You know, is it worth it? We need to simplify our choices. I encourage you to choose God's best. There are a lot of things in this life that are good. Don't misunderstand me. A lot of things in this life that are good. But those good things that you may choose may keep you from receiving God's best. See, God wants the best for you. You may choose something good, and as a result of that, you're going to miss out on God's best. Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, and in verse 13, he said, "Brethren," he said, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. That's what he says. That's what he's doing. Paul made a simple choice. After his conversion, we know about his conversion on the road to Damascus. After his conversion, after God called him into the ministry, his entire life was spent on reaching the prize that Jesus was calling him to. That was Paul's simple choice. And that steered his entire life. He wanted to choose God's best for his life. And I'll tell you this morning, as you are confronted with life, ask yourself, is this an opportunity to fill more time with stuff, or is it God's best that he's offering me for my life? Our first daily discipline, our behavioral modification, if you will, needs to be to practice simplicity. We need to practice devotion and loyalty and commitment to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To choose God's best and avoid a life of spiritual corruption and seduction, God's best for right now, it's growing and deepening our relationship with him. I titled my message this morning, "What is your life?" And I hope that this morning I have encouraged you to take a look at your life. See where you're at. And I don't want, the question isn't, are you pleased with where you're at in your life? The question is God pleased with you where you're at in your life today? In my scripture reading, Paul was battling the false teachings of his day. And brothers and sisters, we battle false teachings in our day as well. And he was encouraging them that their love should be for Christ and Christ alone. And he used the example of how a virgin saves her love and herself for one man only, and that man being her husband. And the analogy is that keeping Jesus first in our lives, that's the desire. I know this morning that keeping Jesus first in our life can be very difficult when we have so many distractions that are threatening to sidetrack our faith. As Eve lost her focus, he referred to Eve as losing her focus. She lost her focus by listening to the serpent in the Garden of Eden. And I want us to open our eyes this morning, and I want us to see that we too can lose our focus by letting our lives have become overwhelmed and allowing our lives to be overcrowded. We can lose our focus. Brothers and sisters, is there anything? Is there anything that weakens your commitment to keep Jesus first in your life? Is there any way that you can minimize those distractions that threaten your devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ? And there is. It's simply by simplifying your life. In the day in which we live today and in what lies ahead for us in the future, you know, our physical health is important to us. And our spiritual health should be equally, if not more important to us than our physical health. Certainly when it comes to knowing the Lord and salvation. We need to ponder, what is our life? And we need to practice simplicity in our lives. We need to practice that devotion, that loyalty, that commitment unto the Lord. And in doing so, I believe, and I really believe it with all my heart, the closer that God's people are to him, the more blessings that God bestows. The closer we are to him, the more powerful the Spirit of God will be in our hearts. The more powerful the Spirit of God will move from heart to heart in our worship services. The more powerful God's Spirit will be in blessing the hearts of God's people, and more powerful it will be in bringing convictions in the heart of the unsaved. The conviction will be so great that they'll have to make an altar. They'll call upon the Lord. They'll be saved. They'll join the Lord's church. They'll get in the fight with us. They'll get in the work of the Lord with us. And that'll keep going until the Lord comes back and gathers together his own, those whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when that roll is called up yonder, we'll be able to answer, here am I, here am I. But there's so many things that come around that, you know. Most people's lives are not complicated by the things of the Lord, you know. Outside of a few, their life isn't built around the Lord. Their life is built around the things of life, and then the Lord, they try to fit the Lord in there. But I'll tell you, and I believe with all my heart this morning, the closer we are to the Lord, the more blessings that God will give to his people, the more blessings that God will give to his church. Brother Jim talked about it in his devotional this morning, good devotional this morning, brother. But it all centers around us returning to the Lord. You say, returning? Yeah, there needs to be a return to the Lord. I think it was Brother Dwayne who mentioned in his prayer this morning that people would turn back to the Lord like they did 20 years ago. And when those planes hit the Twin Towers, the four planes, we're all familiar with the story. I got to tell you, the church I was pastoring at was full the next Sunday. And it was full the next Sunday. Why? Because people were fearful and panicking, and they were looking for some peace, and they were looking for some solace. Where did they go? They went to the church. Why? Because they thought that's where God was, and God could give them the peace that they needed. Listen, we need that in our life every day. We need it in our lives all the time. We don't just need to run to the Lord when there's a big tragedy that comes about that we're fearful what our future is going to be. A child of God knows what their future is going to be. It's going to be eternity in heaven with the Lord. All the other stuff is just stuff that we deal with along the way. But we got to make room for the Lord. And sometimes we just have to practice simplicity. And sometimes we have to simplify our lives. I don't want to go back to outhouses. And I don't want to go back to no running water. I don't want to go back to any of that stuff. But I would like to go back where the Lord is the first priority in people's lives. And it was evident. And people could see it. And they knew that this was a godly nation serving a great God. We need to do that. We need to bring that back. That's my message this morning. I wonder if there's a word on anyone's heart before we bring our service to a close. God is good to us. He loves us. We need to love him in return. Amen. 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 God bless you, Sister Deborah. I can remember growing up, when Sunday school was over and before church service started, hearing sister shouting the praises of God before the service even started. I remember a day when the preacher didn't get to preach. I'm not advocating that, but I remember a day when the preacher didn't get to preach. Well, why not? Because God's people were testifying so much of the goodness of God that they were still testifying at 12 o'clock and the preacher hadn't said anything. And people would leave and say, what a great day it was in the Lord today. Well, it was, you know, but there were times like that where the Spirit of God was moving so great that people just couldn't help but tell about God's blessing or their experience of salvation. And, you know, we're lacking that. We're missing that. And thank you, Sister Deborah. Anything else on your hearts? Anyone else have a word? And it's not always on purpose. You know, we just are living life and we just get caught so. I don't know anybody that says, you know what, I got to cut someplace. I'm going to cut the Lord out. I don't know anybody who says that's the place I'm going to cut. It's just things start crunching up and getting bigger and bigger and bigger and something ends up falling off the plate. And I don't think anybody ever sets out to do it. But in those still moments is when we realize that, hey, I've drifted. Someone else, anything on your heart? That's right. Mm-hmm.